Glad to have y'all here this morning. Will y'all please stand as we open up with a great song for our Memorial Day weekend, where we honor veterans and people who have passed away in service. Bow your heads as we open up with prayer this morning. God, as we open up on this in church this morning to come here and worship and honor you, God, this is the time when we as a country also honor those people that you gave us, God, that sacrificed themselves for us, God. And I want to thank you for all of those people, God, this morning. And Lord, I want to thank you for your son, Jesus, most of all. Because of him, we are here today, and we can worship you, God, and be right with you. And I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, be with us this morning upon your worship, upon the word this morning. I pray that you speak powerfully through Pastor Larry, God, and stir our hearts in what you want us to be. And I thank you for the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
You may be seated. If you have your bulletins, please read over them. There's a lot of information in here for you today. I do want to highlight a couple of things. First and foremost is youth group is canceled tonight. There will be no youth group tonight. Also, if you look down in the middle of the page, you see the 2026 Mission Motorcycle Run. We need volunteers to help work that event. That is this coming Saturday coming up. So if you have some time, we'd appreciate you to come out. If you could be here around 9:30, 10 o'clock, that would be great. We could use some help putting that together and running it. But also, we need your prayers for that. The number one thing for prayer for that event is safety, right? Amen. We need safety. We want a good turnout. We want all that. But we want safety and good weather, of course, right? So just pray for that if you would. Also, if you want to help support that, we have a lot of items downstairs that we are going to be giving, raffling off. So if you want to go down and look at those and bid on those, there's all kinds of things, really, really nice things down there. So if you would like to be a part of that, right after service, you can go down and look at what's there, and you have an opportunity to support our mission team with that way. Also, Children's Department VBS kickoff, and I announced this that way because VBS is coming very, very quickly, very, very fast. So be ready for that. But there's a Children's Department VBS kickoff on Wednesday, June 10th. So we ask that you come out and bring your children, support that. And then also, if you want to serve in VBS, there's tons of areas to be plugged in VBS. If you don't know, if you just want to do something, there's a week that you can do something, all right? Even if you can give 2 days, give 2 days. But there's usually 70-some volunteers that volunteer to help with VBS because we have like 140 kids. So we need your help, all right? Other than that, I want to pick up on what Mike was just, what he just played in the music is that, we have a lot to be thankful for in this nation because a lot of good, good people laid down their lives to have what we have here. Listen, I am proud to be an American. I don't take for granted what I have. We see a lot of things today that makes us question things, but here's what I know, and I tell people say, what do you think? What do you think, Pastor? What do you think about this? I think God is in control. First and foremost, above everything else, God is in control. Listen, I know in whom I have believeth, and know that he is able to deliver unto me everything that he has promised. So whatever man can do to me, you let him do it. But I know what God has in store for me. Amen? Amen. So with that being said, I want to ask that we pray for these who laid down their life. So would you pray with me? Father God, we are come here today as your church, as your people. We seek your face. Because that's what your scripture tells us to do. We seek your face, and that if we do that, that you will heal our land. And Lord, our land does need healing. But Father, there are those who have already gone, who have already paid the ultimate sacrifice to lay down their life for the freedoms that we have in this country. Lord, may we never forget what they did. May we never forget their sacrifices, their family's sacrifices. Lord, that they laid down their life, that we could even freely assemble here to this day. But Lord, that there's so much more beyond that that you have given us and blessed us with. So we want to thank you for all of those, Lord, who sacrificed their life. But we want to thank you for providing us with such a great nation, Lord, that we would never take for granted what you have done for us. So Lord, we lift up this prayer in thanks to all those who sacrificed, to their families and to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, before you all stand this morning, my wife will probably kill me because she has no idea I'm going to do this. But I'm going to tell you guys a little story. And I'm going to take you back a little bit just for a moment. You remember a few years ago, I asked you guys to send me pictures of people that you knew or were friends of yours that had lost their life in service to this country. And I think I had maybe 6 people. That was given to me. We had a moment of silence, and we remembered those veterans that gave their life for this country. Well, Belinda and I had 2 on that list. One was her uncle Charlie. The other was my mom's brother. And my mom's brother died in Korea in the early days of the Korean War, and he was missing in action. For 75 years, he was missing in action. But about a year ago, they found him. And they brought him back to the United States. He got buried in Taylor County where he grew up, and we had a nice service and everything. It was really wonderful. And at his service, this is the reason I'm telling this story, because I don't ever want anything I do up here on this stage to not bring glory to God. The reason I'm telling this story is because of what the colonel said during his service. And he said, we're gathered here today to make good on a promise that the United States Army made to a young man and his mother and father that when he joined, that we would not leave him behind. And they didn't. And at that moment, God said to me, Mike, that's exactly what I said to the church. I will not leave you behind. So this morning, we're going to open up with a glorious day for that. But I want to tell a story because that's what God says to us. It was 75 years my family waited for him to come back. My grandmother, my mom. My grandmother told my mom for years and years. She says, he'll come back. She says, one day, he'll come back. And he did. So we all please stand as we open up this worship this morning.
Thank you. rising, He justified. Freely forever, one day He's coming. Oh, glorious day, oh, glorious day, oh, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day
tries to roll over my bones. Sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. Brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand. doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Praise God. That's all right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's all good. That's all good. You know, the whole time I'm singing that song, I'm seeing my mom's face talking about my grandmother and the faith that she had through all those years. She didn't get to see it, but she told my mom, she says, you know what, girls, she said, you and your sister, she says, one day you're going to see this.
Forever here. overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. Forever Yah is glorified. Forever Yah is lifted high. Forever Yah is risen.
Father God, we want to just sing that out loud. Hallelujah, for you are alive. We have a risen Savior, a God who is alive and well on the throne ruling. And we just lift our praise to you. We give you all the glory that you deserve. I pray, Lord, that you are satisfied with this worship from your church. That as we lift our hearts in song and praise, it's lifted out of a heart of love, of gratitude. A heart that is faithful to give you the worship that you were due. And Father, we just want to love you and thank you for all that you have provided for us, Lord. You have given us so much. You've given to us abundantly and richly. And Lord, now is a time for us to give back to you, a time of worship, Lord, where we can give back of what you first have given to us. So Lord, we pray that you bless the gift and the giver, Lord, and that those who can't afford to give, that they give, and those who can't, they need a dollar, let them take it out, Lord. But all for your glory, all for your honor. So we lift you on high. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I forgot something at the announcements. I'm going to get in the eyeball. But seriously, though, Vicki, raise your hand, Vic. Vicki Angelo there wanted me to thank everybody on her behalf for all the prayers and all the meals that were sent her way and all the phone calls and things as such. So she just wanted to thank you, church, for all that you have done and all the prayer support. And we're glad to see you here. We know you're still in recovery. They don't know what happened, but you fell, you broke your ankle and knee? Yeah. Yes.
They did two CT scans
Hey, I do that sometimes. Just, I don't know if I have any matter, so you're above me, so, right? So, you're doing good. So, well, we love you. And so, yeah, and hope you will continue to pray for you and your recovery. So, all right, well, let's get started. I've entitled this sermon today, I will confess before my Father. I will confess before my Father. In 1990, Brett Butler played for the San Francisco Giants. He was a free agent that year and wanted to stay with the Giants. He loved them. He loved being with the Giants. Brett was one of the fastest men in baseball in the 80s and 90s. He was great at defense, and he played center field. And anytime he was at bat, he would end up on base. And he loved the people of San Francisco, and they loved him. However, the LA Dodgers put up the most money and signed him for the Giants. And this created an interstate rivalry between the Giants and the Dodgers. So Brett went to the Dodgers, who was managed at the time by Tommy Lasorda. We all probably know that name. Tommy Lasorda was the manager at the time. Well, in the very next season that came up, a few games in, the Dodgers went to San Francisco to play for the Giants. And when they were calling out the roster, the crowd went absolutely wild when Brett Butler's name was announced. There was all this cheering going on, a great celebration. And in the midst of that big celebration, right? In the midst of the cheering and the celebration, Brett walked over to Tommy Lasorda and gave him the biggest bear hug you could ever imagine. And when that happened, the entire stadium, all of a sudden, it was like they flipped a switch. And all of a sudden, they went from all those people from San Francisco, all those people flipped the switch, went from cheering to booing to hissing and calling him names. So all reporters flocked around Brett, and they went to him and said, "Brett, why did you do that? Why in the midst of all of that and all these people cheering, all these people that love you, they were celebrating the fact that you were coming back, you were back in San Francisco." And Brett looked at him and he said this. He said, "I had to do that in order to let everybody know that I am now a Dodger. I am not a Giant anymore. I'm an LA Dodger now, and I want everybody to know that I am a Dodger." Now, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and in verse 33, you're coming to the fourth great I will of Jesus Christ. Verse 32 there says, "Therefore." Now, that "therefore" is there because of everything that has just been said right before it. Therefore, because of all this stuff, and we will look at that, we'll get there. Verse 32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, whoever identifies themselves with me, whoever owns me, whoever is not ashamed of me," look what he says, "therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him," meaning Jesus, right? Here's the "I will." "I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me, whoever rejects me, whoever doesn't say anything about me, who doesn't identify with me, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now, I want you to understand, both of these verses speak of being public. They both speak of being public. So if you wonder why I give an invitation after service, every sermon, right? If you wonder why I give invitation, it's because we are told this in Scripture right here. "Whoever confesses me before men." Now understand, Jesus had no closet disciples. Jesus didn't have no closet disciples. He has no private personnel or hidden away, non-public disciples. Look, he said, "But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now let me back up, right? Now let me just back up, because that's going to be the heart of what I want to look at today. Because I want to show you the context of this whole passage right here. I want you to see it. So if you look back to chapter 9, verse 35, you come to a new section there. And this new section, all the way through chapter 10 and into chapter 11, what you come to is what is known as the mission discourse. This is where Jesus is going to do something here that no other rabbi ever did in that day and time. It starts in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. Look what it says. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Because, why? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And in chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over all the unclean spirits. Look what it says, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits. Now listen, and this just blows my mind right here. I don't know. This is just a little rabbit for the pastor, okay? But this just blows my mind here. When I read that, right, and he called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits. Who's in this group? You're right. Judas. Judas is there. And he gives him authority. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. And in verses 2 through 4, Matthew names the 12. Now, I'm not going to go through all that, but this is the first time it is given, and he lines them up, and he gives their names. He tells us who they are. And he begins to, at this point now, he begins to give them instruction on what they are to do. Now, here's the thing about that. No rabbi ever did that. Because the only thing that a disciple of a rabbi would do is he would be to walk behind the rabbi, and he would memorize what the rabbi was saying. That's what he would do. He would just walk behind him, and he would listen to him speak, and he would memorize what the rabbi would say. The rabbi would talk to them as they walked along the way. Then he would get somewhere, usually to the temple steps or somewhere like that, and they would sit there, and the rabbi would teach them. However, a rabbi's disciple was never involved in the ministry. He followed and memorized what the rabbi was saying so he could basically quote it back. We would say this today, we would identify it maybe as a pew sitter. Okay? And the gospel, right? So they would just listen and they would quote it back. And the Gospels repeatedly note that Jesus taught in this exact same general area where the rabbis taught, in the temple area. But Jesus did something completely different, and no other rabbi did this. And that is this. Jesus is going to involve, right? Get involved. They're going to serve, right? Jesus is going to involve these disciples in what he's doing in his mission. They are going to be involved in it personally, actively. In fact, put your finger there in Matthew and look over to Mark chapter 3. Get over to Mark chapter 3. And I want you to listen to what is said there. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. But essentially, verse 14 is what I want to get to. But we'll start in verse 13. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. I could just preach that just right there. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. They were going to spend time with him, right? That they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. So Jesus is teaching these people, right, these disciples, how to preach. And the rabbis, I guess, had to figure that out on their own. I don't know that they was ever taught that. I guess they just had to figure it out. But Jesus is specifically training these men to do one thing, and they are to go out. They are to go out to these villages, and they are to walk into homes, and they are to share the gospel and the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. Now, that's what he's training them to do, and that's what they are going to do. And he's going to set them loose to do that. Now, back in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15, He's giving them all of this training. It's this training, training, training. He's giving them all this training and everything that they're about to do. So now they're about to go out. Here they go. They're about to go out, and he's going to release them to go out and to do what he had taught them to do. And so he's giving them instruction here, instructions like this, verse 5. Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What is he telling them? He's saying, look, go to Israel first. Go to the Jews first. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Remember, he gave them the power, right? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. We talked about that last week. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts. That means don't take any money for what you're doing. So I'll make you this promise right now after reading that verse. By the time I reach 80, I promise you I will never take a salary from you. Now, come on. If I reach 80... I'll be happy to preach to you for free. All right? No. But provide gold or silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. So he's telling them all of this stuff. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. But when he gets to verse 16, now he's going to shift at verse 16, from him instructing these disciples about what they're to do, and he's going to shift, and he's going to give the mission for the church. Now, let me let you in on something here. Every bit of this applies to every one of us. All of it applies to every one of us. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you may not be called you may not be called to preach. But you are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are saved, born-again believer, you are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's giving instruction here for that. And by the time you get to verse 16, he will begin to tell you what will happen. Watch, you're going to get excited about this in a minute. You're going to get excited, right? This is what will happen if you are willing to confess him as Lord and Savior before men. He's going to tell you what's going to happen if you do that. So let me get there. Let me show you what Jesus is doing, and he's doing this. He's instructing us that we are to take our confession of Jesus Christ seriously about being his disciple. We're to be serious about being followers of Jesus Christ. We're to be intentional, right? We are to be on purpose about it. Now, that's what he's saying in verse 32 and verse 33. He's saying, are you willing to confess me before men? I've seen a couple heads go like this. Amen, right? Are you willing to confess me before men, or will you keep your mouth shut and never say anything about me? And essentially, what he's saying, essentially, deny me before men. You're not going to say anything one way or the other. You're just going to keep your mouth shut. You're going to be lukewarm. You're going to follow down the middle, but you're not going to fall on either side or the other. So basically, essentially, you're denying me before men. He said, you better take this seriously if you want to be my disciple. So let me begin to work through this, if you will, please. And the first thing I want to show you this morning is this. I want to show you the opposition. The opposition. Jesus here is giving these guys a mission. And what I want you to understand is that the mission of Jesus Christ always, the mission of Jesus Christ always comes with opposition. Always. Jesus is saying, see, aren't you excited already? I knew you would be, right? Jesus is saying, oh, you will be in the end. Just stick with me, all right? Jesus is saying, you are going to face opposition if you confess me before men. Now, I want to give an invitation right now. Listen, Jesus is saying, you want to be my disciple? Come on. But you're going to have opposition right from the get. Anybody want to say amen to that? Yeah. Jesus said in verse 14, and whoever will not receive, watch. Whoever will not receive, do you mean... when I go out in Jesus' name, there are going to be people who reject me? Yeah, you bet your dollar they will. Well, that, and now I'm speaking, right, in general, as a person, well, that's why I don't want to go out. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to face rejection. Watch. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Meaning this, you've shared with them, but they don't want to hear it, so just shake the dust off your feet and what? Move on. Look at verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He says, this is what I'm sending you out to do, and it's going to be like sheep hanging out with a bunch of wolves. Therefore, look what he says, therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And verse 17 states, but beware of men. He didn't say beware of the serpents, right? He said, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. Now, we could talk all day about the martyrs of those who have suffered in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Over the centuries, we could do that. But that's for another sermon. So let's go ahead and move forward. Look at verse 19. But when they deliver you up, look what it says. But when they deliver you up, that means you will be delivered up. When they deliver you up, those who are against you, do not worry about how or what. How or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So Jesus is saying this. If you're my disciple, and they've handed you over to whoever, the officials or whoever it is, Jesus is saying, you understand this. You understand you're going to face opposition if you use my name. If you're coming to identify with me, if you're coming to witness about me, if you're coming to testify about me, you're going to face opposition in my name. But don't worry. Because I'm going to tell you how to say it and what to say. But that's not how our minds work. Because our minds aren't relying on the Spirit that dwells in us. Our minds are usually dwelling on our own abilities. How? Because when we're asked to go out and share the gospel, the first thing, or if I say somebody, can you do a devotion, or can you do, the first thing that comes to mind is, what am I going to say? How am I going to tell them? How am I going to explain this? How am I going to get, here's the one, how am I going to get out of it? That's what comes, because fear. We get this fear that comes over us. And there is a good sense of fear, right, brother? When you handle the Word of God, there should be a reverent fear. But not afraid that you're going to get smited by God. Because he says, look, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you in this. He says, but we obviously go, when we're asked to do this, we think automatically, how am I going to get out of this? Well, did you ever think this? Maybe you don't need to get out of it. Did you ever think of that? Maybe you don't need to get out of it. Maybe God's intention is for you to be there. He's put you there for a reason. He's allowed you to be in that situation for a reason. He's allowed you to be asked for a reason. You say, do you think? I said, I don't know. He called the 12. The ones that he called, they came. Maybe he's put you in a place at a time and a place to bear witness for his name. And don't worry about what you're going to say. God will give you the words that in that moment. Or if you are born again, blood bought, saved by grace through faith Christian, then the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Verse 22, look at what he says there. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. There's that word but, right? But. Promise or warning coming every time. But. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Meaning this, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up my confession. I'm not going to back away from the fact that I follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to defray, I'm not going to fray from that. Now watch this, because he's going to explain all this in verse 24 and 25. Look what he says in verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Now simply, what he's saying there is this. When you sit under somebody as a servant, as a slave, would sit under a master, and the master would generally teach him what he wanted him to do and train him in what he wanted him to do. All right, and so they would go do that. Or if I were a disciple of a rabbi, the rabbi would disciple me. So if I'm sitting under a teaching, what am I doing? If I'm sitting under a teaching, I'm what? You're doing it right now. I'm listening, right? If I'm sitting under a teaching, I'm listening. It's that I'm going to take on the characteristics of that teacher, what he's teaching, right? I'm going to emulate that teacher, right? Now, how do we see that in society today? We see it in a lot of our young college students emulating their professors, what they're being taught. You see it out in the world today, right? Right? So they take on the characteristics of the professor. Well, that's what he's saying here. Listen to what he says in verse 25. He says, It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub. I can't get out of here. Thank you. Now, Beelzebub was a god, little g, not a big G. Beelzebub was a god that the Phoenicians worshipped. But Beelzebub was head of the demons, right? Now, watch, because what are the Pharisees going to call Jesus? What are they going to call him? They're going to call him Beelzebub, right? They are going to say, your power comes from Beelzebub. And Jesus says, you've got to be kidding me. Right? This is a very loose translation, all right? He says, you've got to be kidding me. But that's what he said. Jesus questions them. He says, you mean to tell me that demons are going to call out demons in the name of God? He says, a house divided against itself can't stand. So Jesus is essentially saying, just use a little bit of thinking and logic here. Translation, right? Just use a little bit of thinking and logic. Think about what you're saying right here. Sir, they're going to call him Beelzebub, and these disciples are going to hear it, right? Their disciples are there, and they're going to hear that being said of him. And Jesus says, now they're calling me that, and you're one of my disciples. Look what it says. How much more will they call those of his household? So Jesus is telling them, you can be sure that they're going to call you that. You can be sure they're going to call you out. They're going to degrade you because of me. Now let me just read this again in verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus comes and he says, if they call me the devil, what in the heck do you think they're going to call you? If they hated me, Jesus said a little later in John chapter 15, he said, if they hated me, what do you think they're going to do to you? We're all excited right now, aren't we? They're going to hate you as well. And I think that's where the fear comes. So when you come to this whole thing of discipleship and following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to understand that the way the world treats Jesus is the way the world is going to treat you. And the way the culture treats Jesus, the way our culture treats Jesus, is the way the church culture is going to be treated. The way our society treats Jesus is the way society is going to treat you. Now listen, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to understand you're going to face opposition. It's not if, it's when. And listen, the whole chapter is saying, the whole chapter is going to teach us that very thing. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning in this I wills of Jesus, in the I wills of Jesus. You need to understand that when you stand up and say, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to live my life for Him, you need to understand you're going to face opposition. Listen, I don't know what you're going through. But if you're facing opposition because of nothing more than your faith, if you are walking through hardships because of the devil is attacking you, he's trying to get, what he's ultimately doing he's trying to get at your faith. He's trying to get into your belief. He's trying to get you to not live out your faith or to abandon your faith or to doubt your faith. Well, let me give you some instruction in that. This is out of me. Let me give you some instruction. If that's you, and that's where you're at, and you have these doubts, and you're being opposed, and you're being attacked, here's my instruction to you. Never give in. Never, 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 ever, never. Ever, ever, in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. Because listen, he who endures to the end will, does it say might? Does it say should? What's it say? Whoever endures to the end will be saved. Are you going to be mocked? Who's the last laugh? Who is going to get the last laugh? He who endures to the end will be saved. Listen, I know some of you, and I know some of your struggles, and I know that there have been some personal attacks by the devil himself. I know that. I know what some of you have been through and are going through and still are going through. But let me give you some more advice. Listen, this is for me. Let me give you some more advice. When you're walking through hell, just keep walking. Keep walking. I'm not alone. Right? I am not alone. He is with me. When you're walking through hell, keep walking. And listen, I'm going to tell you this. We are looking to add space, right? Most of you, all you know this. We're looking to add space here. We're to build on here at Open Door Baptist Church. We need educational space in a desperate way. So let me ask you this. Do you think Satan is going to stand back and just like, oh, good. You think he's going to stand by and just like, oh, good, that's great, glad you guys are doing that? No, that ain't it, right? That's not going to happen, so get ready for it, right? You're ready because we're still in the planning stages, not sure what we'll do yet, but we are looking at options. We're meeting with people, right? But do you think that there won't be opposition because of this? There's a part of me that thinks, do I really want to do this? I mean, do I really want to get into this? And you want to know why? It goes back to what I told you earlier. Fear. Because I know the attacks are going to come, and the attacks are going to be hard. But why? Because opposition is hard, right? Being a Christian is not for wimps. It is not for wimps. It's hard. And I don't know about you. I don't like it, and I'm sure you don't either, right? I don't like that. But one thing is for certain. Satan will not stand for us creating additional space for people to learn about him, right? And to worship Jesus Christ. Listen, growth will not come. Right, watch this. Growth will not come without spiritual warfare. It's going to happen. Growth will not come without spiritual warfare. If we grow, opposition will come. You can trust in that. Likewise, if you're not growing spiritually, personally, most likely, you're not facing any opposition. Because a good Christian to Satan is the Christian who does nothing. And that's sad, because we're called to do something, and that's what he is saying. If you confess Jesus Christ, you will be met with opposition. Listen, there'll be a battle. There will be a battle. Not if, there will be a battle. A battle, and but listen, watch this. A battle always precedes a victory. You can't have a victory unless you have a battle. But keep walking. Keep walking with Jesus, because the battle has already been won. And the victory has already been grasped. We will endure. Amen? Now let me give you the second thing, right? The second thing is this. You need to understand this. You need to understand confession. Now listen to all that I've just given. I've just given you in what Jesus is saying in this passage. And now he's going to come and he's going to say, therefore, again in verse 32, therefore, because of all these things, because of all what's going to happen to you when you confess me, because of what's going to happen to you when you identify with me, because of what's going to happen to you when you follow me, right? That's what he's saying. That everyone who confesses, everyone who confesses, verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Confesses. Well, what does that mean? In the Greek, it means saying the same word. Saying the same word. So what is the same word? Jesus is Lord. Amen? Right? Saying the same word is confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. He says this, that if you're going to say the same word about me, confess me before men, say the same word about me before men, I'm going to say the same thing about you before my Father who is in heaven. Now, if I have somebody in heaven speaking for me, who do I want it to be? Jesus, right? In other words, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the sovereign God of all that there is. But then he comes and he says this in verse 33. He says this, but whoever, there's a word but, promise or warning, but whoever denies me before men, whoever rejects, refuses to identify with me, refuses to be a part of me in any way, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now, this confession that he talks about here, this is all public. It's all public. He's speaking of public confession here, meaning I am willing to stand up and confess before men, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Or do I kind of fade back into the background? And maybe no one will see me. No one will notice me. I'll just stand over here in the shadows on the side. Maybe I'll just be this little wallflower on a wall. Maybe I'll just be a closet Christian. You say, in your head, you're saying, I love him in my heart, but I would not walk the aisle. I would never walk an aisle. I would never come down front. I would never be baptized. I wouldn't do any of those kind of things. I'm not going to publicly be put on display. Because my religion is private. It's just between me and God. I've heard that so many times. It's just between me and God. Well, listen to me carefully. Your religion may be private. I get it. I'll even agree with that. Your religion may be private, but your relationship with Jesus Christ had better be public. You better go back and read these verses we just read if that's what you think, that you're going to be a wallflower. And I think it's because we've allowed the lines to be blurred as to what's acceptable and what's not by God's standard. We decide what's acceptable. What God says is what we decide what's acceptable. It's not what God's standard is. And we're afraid to stand and say, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Who would here be willing to go down to McDonald's at lunchtime and stand in the middle of McDonald's and say, Jesus is Lord, and shout it out loud? Who would be afraid to do that? Who would do it? Me and you. Huh? We'd do that, right? Do I know that people are going to think I'm a freak? Do you think the people at the tables are going to say, what's wrong with that guy? Am I afraid to do it? Would it do a lot of good? Probably not. Probably not. But am I afraid? I am not. Right? So Jesus comes and he says, let me tell you something. Listen, if we're going to do anything, if we're going to be anything to people, listen, I don't stand on a corner with a 3-pound Bible and knock people out with it when they go by. That's not what I do. But if we do anything, you know what we need to be? We need to be sweet. We need to be loving. We need to be kind, caring. We need to be gentle. We need to be patient. We need to have self-control, right? We need to be like Christ, right? We need to let Christ live through us. Let Jesus be seen in you, right? So Jesus comes and he says, listen, let me tell you something. And we'll need to take heed on this, by the way. We need to take heed of this. Jesus is telling us to what? He says, if you're not confessing me right now, watch. If you're not confessing me right now in this relatively conservative upper high valley area, right? If you're not confessing me in this conservative area that we live in, if you're not confessing him now, I doubt you're going to confess me when the heat gets turned up. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not asking you to agree with me on this. I'm not asking any person in here to agree with me on this. But let me tell you something. And you can mark my words on this, and I pray that you do. There's coming a day in the United States of America where to be named a Christian, you're going to be rejected and persecuted. You're going to be rejected and persecuted for your belief and faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're not standing in it now, you will not stand there. Will you confess or will you deny? I'm going to tell you, sadly, I think it's coming more quickly than we believe it is. That's just me. I'm not saying that's you. I'm saying that's me. Now, let me give you the last thing. Last thing is this. It's conviction. Conviction. There comes a point in every believer's life where confession becomes conviction. Where confession becomes conviction. I say this because it's one thing to say that Jesus is Lord when everything is easy. Amen? It's one thing to say that. And it's another thing to hold fast that confession when it costs you something. When it costs you relationships. When it costs you comfort. When it costs you reputation or even family. That's right, family. Your faith in Jesus Christ can and will divide families and marriages. You know, we just finished up going through the 7 great I am's statements of Jesus Christ. We're now in the I wills, but we just finished up the I am series. Do you realize that every time Jesus said I am, I am, I am, it was a direct reference back to Exodus chapter 3 and to that fact that he was saying, I am God in the flesh, this is who I am. I am God, I am God in the flesh, this is who I am. Well, he comes and listen to what he says now. We have to hold this confession regardless of what happens. We have to hold true to that no matter what happens. He's saying, do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. Listen to what he says beginning in verse 34. Look what he says, just so you believe me. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He says, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. But it's not the way you think. Look at verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his That's right. Own household. I've not come to drive out enemies of Israel. I have come to put a sword in a family where one family will confess me and the rest of the family will turn on him. If you're not standing firm now, it's going to be a problem later. Now let me just say this. Never understand this, that Jesus is saying that if you come to him as Lord and Savior, you have to ditch your family. Nowhere does Jesus ever say that. Nowhere. Nowhere is Jesus making the comment that if you confess me, then you just have to kiss everybody else in your family goodbye. No, 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 no. Bad excuse right there, right? No. You never turn away from them. That's you never, as a believer, you never turn away from them. In fact, when it comes to marriages, it says if an unbeliever is willing to stay with the believer, that the believer is bound. We never turn away from our family. So what is he saying in this? Is this, you go in, confess me to your family, and you're going to have family members now that are going to turn on you. You will be called a Bible thumper, perhaps. Maybe you'll be called a Bible thumper, Jesus freak, or just a freak, right? Right? Or maybe your family will say that you think you're better than everybody else, right? They're the Jesus people. Yeah, they think they're better than everybody. Or the good one is, they say one thing, but they're just a bunch of hypocrites. I am. Not proud of it. I am. Or this one. Because you become a Christian and you try to tell them about Jesus, you confess Jesus. What right do you have to judge me, Dad? Maybe you'll lose friends that you thought were family. I did. I was there with them when their children was born, holding their hands. I was there with them when their family died, holding their hands. And when I became a Christian, true story. But here is a sad and tragic truth. There have been family who have turned on family when they confess Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now I imagine some of you have been in that position. Undoubtedly, some of you in here have been in that position. And this is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, when you come and you identify with me, you need to understand that you're going to do that. You're going to have to hold this confession of the revelation of who Jesus is. He is God in the flesh. That's what all this comes down to. This all comes down to this confession and revelation of who Jesus Christ is that he is God in the flesh. And the truth is that in many parts of the world today, the most dangerous place to confess Jesus Christ is not in public. Do you know where it's at? It's at the dinner table. Oh, don't even get me started if you're a Muslim and you convert to Christianity. If you're a Muslim and convert to Christianity, you know what you do? You automatically lose your marriage. You lose any inheritance you might have had. You lose custody of your children, capital punishment, prison terms, floggings, in some cases even death. So there are believers who fear telling their own family more than they fear telling the government. Why? Because Jesus was right. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. And that's what is meant. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is telling us. He's saying this. He's saying this to us. And the question comes to me and it comes to you is this. Are we willing to identify with Christ? Are you? Are you really? Are you really willing to identify yourself with Christ? I don't want to be labeled that. I don't want that. I don't want people. Well, then you just denied him. I didn't. You did. Are you willing to identify yourself with Christ? And knowing what that means, are you still willing to do that? Are we willing to name him as Lord and Savior before men, regardless of what the outcome will bring? Are you willing to stand firm in professing Jesus as Lord and Savior? So let me ask you this. Has your confession of Jesus Christ cost you a sacrifice of any kind? Now, I know there's some in here that it has. Has it cost you any sacrifice of any kind? Listen, a day is coming in this country when identifying with Jesus Christ will be seen as rebellious. In fact, you can even see it at times right now, actually. So if you are not willing to stand up and confess Christ right now in a place like West Virginia, Collier's, West Virginia, if you're not willing to stand up in a place like this right now, I got something I got to tell you, and you're not going to like me. If you can't do it now, you're never going to do it when it gets difficult. And you will be a denier. Listen, why would Jesus say this? Why would he do this? Why would he put this out there? Why would he say that? What did it cost Jesus to save you? What did it cost him? Everything. Everything. Rejection, abuse, mocking, beating, scourging, floggings, name-calling, and death. It cost him everything to be our Lord and Savior. So you know what that means today? That's why he puts this in here. You know why that means today? It means this. It will cost you to make the claim, to make that claim in your own life. It cost him. Now, it's going to cost you to make that claim in your own life. So I implore you, stand firm. Look, military term right here. Stand firm is a military term. Stand firm. Don't back up. Don't step aside. Don't retreat. Don't pull back from the claim that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Because listen to me. Listen to the Word of God. He didn't pull back or retreat from going to the cross from you. He didn't say, no. He says, I'll go. I'll go. I'll do it. Who? For you. Listen, if you've never openly confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen to me. If you've never openly confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to make it public. Not just to believe it in your heart. Not just to believe it in your heart, but to declare it with your life. Satan believes in Jesus Christ, but what does he refuse to do? Follow him. He refuses to follow him. Listen, we need to declare it with our life because, listen, he went public for you on the cross. It was a public event on the cross, right? And he's not asking for perfection out of you. Listen, we are often called hypocrites because people think we're perfect. Who in this place is perfect? Hypocrite. I am not perfect. You're not perfect. Now let me ask the same question in a different way. In all of my imperfectness and all of me being an idiot, that's the I don't know what the Greek word is for that, but anyways. Who all here in this building at this point in time stands perfect in front of God under the blood of Christ. Amen. You see it? How can I deny that? How? That's what Jesus is saying. He's asking for confession. He's asking for confession. So as we all gather together, if God is dealing with your heart today, you come. Not later, not someday, or I'll get around to it. No, no, no. Today. Today is the day of what? Today is the day of salvation, right? I'm going to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He is the one who can forgive me of all of my idiocy, all my unrighteousness, all me of being a dumb guy. And let me just say this. Your religion may be your personal choice, but following Jesus Christ is public. So if you've never publicly done that, if you have never confessed, I belong to Jesus Christ, then I invite you to do that now. That just like Brett Butler, the baseball player, just like Brett Butler, you need to let everybody know with certainty, without any doubt, which team you now play for. And you need to hear the words of Paul when he says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Question, are you ashamed? Are you just enduring until this long-winded preacher gets done so you can get out of here? Ooh. Ooh. Thank you, sister. Well, next week, let's just go ahead to next week's sermon. No. Are you ashamed? If so, I'm going to preach now, all right? If you're ashamed, if that's you, that's going to be a problem for you. Listen, I'm standing here with all certainty that is within me, and I'm going to tell you, He is my hope. He is my salvation. He's my life. He's my future. He's my now. He is my absolute everything. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Lord, and I will shout it from the mountaintops or in McDonald's. But if you've never made that decision, I invite you to do that right now. As the music begins, let's stand. Maybe you're here this morning, you need to get to the altar this morning and let God do business in your heart. You say, listen, I want to believe, I just don't have the faith to believe. Listen, you start praying about it, God will give you the faith. He says, whoever comes to me, I will no wise cast out. So maybe you need to come this morning. Maybe some need to come and be a part of this fellowship, be a member of this church, a church that will challenge you to do what Scripture calls you to do. Listen, I don't preach all feel-good messages. Because you know why? Most of life is not feel-good. It's fight, fight, fight. You got to press on. We'll challenge you to do what Scripture calls you to do. You come and we'll set an appointment to talk about your membership if you want to join here. You come. I don't force anybody to join. I don't approach you and beg you. And if the Lord leads you, you come and talk to me, all right? Let's pray. Father God, in these moments, do, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, do what only you can do, and that is to draw, to call, and to convict hearts. May it be powerful that you move. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.